Blog Talk Radio.
This is Virtual Interactive Chat with David Sponheim.
Oh, and if my feelings start to pressure you, alright, I will give you time.
This is your chance to speak out and make a difference.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to Chat on Steroids. We are jacked up in the room of our video show on Vaughn. America's Third Party has an audience of millions of people around the world who watch the show on UHF that can't call in, but we're bridging past the censorship using all these techniques. The big question is right now, 100 of our senators have gone to the White House. They're being made aware of the situation in North Korea by Trump. But more importantly, I believe Trump is creating the entire conflict overseas in North Korea and in Syria to sidetrack the American government from their investigation into his Russian connections prior to the election. That's really what's going on. And Trump is using our nation's security, the world's security, and our foreign policy in order to somehow skew the subject from the real issue. Why was his team in touch with the Russian intelligence 3 years before the election? And we still haven't gotten any solid indictments from the investigation that's currently undergoing at the Senate subcommittee level, at the House. They haven't indicted Trump for his tax returns yet. So Trump said he'd show his tax returns, never did. And now they need to know in order to find out if Trump really was on the Russian gravy train the past 10 years. My foreign policy is all about non-intervention, not going out and attacking North Korea, but rather monitoring their development as they segue to a modern society. This is a very difficult time when we want to somehow take down a nation with millions of people and force a man who feels cornered into a corner by Trump and by other of our allies who are now using this as a launch point to attack North Korea. We all know the scenario, and I'm sure that the people over at NORAD, as well as the people at Jade Helm, Jade 2.0, have been working out the details. AI intelligence could be applied to this, and I could answer the question very simply. This man, Kim Jong-un, has 25,000 possibly nuclear-tipped weapons pointing at Seoul, South Korea, 30 miles away. I don't care if we have the best defenses in the world stationed with the Patriot missile systems everywhere. One of those 25,000 missiles is going to get through a barrier or a defense barrier. Why provoke this man? Why not open a door of dialogue with a person who won't obviously back down himself for various reasons? So Trump, in this equation, is the wild card. Ironically, Kim Jong-un is more predictable than Trump. Trump is causing all of this ruckus. He's constantly mixing this whole world peace scenario up to basically avert your attention from his sex tapes showing his penis, which may very well be the thing that Russia is using on the backside to manipulate him. So if I laid this out for all of you earlier, but I'll talk more. I'm going to give you a caller who's been holding for a while a chance to talk. Go ahead. What's up? You're on. Welcome.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead.
Really, I'm really liking that that new wig you have. Looks very natural.
This is not a wig, man. This is my real hair.
Ah, okay. Hey, Dave, when does the Blog Talk Radio show start?
It did start. It started when you called in about 5 minutes ago, and we're basically taking calls from people like you. You know, so what's your question?
Do you plan to run against Rodney in 2020, Dave?
No, we won't be running against anybody who doesn't qualify with a last name. But thanks, yeah. All right, caller, thanks for calling. We're going to take a real caller coming up who has real issues. Yeah. We never understood why Shrek became a big Trump supporter, but he is, obviously. my big thing is, if Trump really is using our nation's security and the world's security to cover his sex tapes, which really it boils down to that, what can we do as a nation to show the rest of the world that we're not warring people and we're not looking to, you know, bury any country in particular anytime soon? That'd be great if we could somehow get that across. But what he's doing really needs to be interrupted by our own security within our own country. Obviously, the NSA is on this. They've already confirmed that the sex tapes are real. The FBI and the CIA have confirmed that the dossier is real. So at this point, we're waiting for everything to kind of come to a head. But the people that really did put Trump in power, they are pulling his strings, and they want war. They want depopulation. They want to get rid of 90% of the population around the world. They've even said that they want to do that. When you look at the total people on this planet, what, 7.5 billion people, and you look at the total landmass above the planet, and I did the math on this, it's shocking. Every one of us around the world, every human being living, breathing right now, would have about 10 to 15 acres of land if everything was distributed evenly. I'm not asking America to open its doors to sanctuary states, opening their doors to immigrants. I'm not asking for people to share our land. I'm not asking for China to give everybody more land. I'm just saying this illusion that we have too many people on the planet is simply made up by the worst possible characters who have somehow gotten to the head of the heap called humanity. And these people are the richest, most powerful people in the world. They don't want you. They want you gone, okay? So if you don't start moving forward and realizing that a third party is necessary to beat these two parties, I can't do more than what I'm doing right now every day on this show, which is to talk to you, interact with you. My bullet points on foreign policy would be to open up a doorway of hope and breach this terrible stalemate we have between North Korea and Syria and Ukraine and Russia, and try to open up a door toward more water on the planet, because more water on the planet will resolve almost every one of our problems. I've concluded that the Earth itself, if given more water, fresh water, will automatically create prosperity. People grow food, and once people grow food and trade and encourage, people are less likely to kill each other. When they're well-fed and there's plenty of water, they're less likely to get angry. So really, the way to mitigate world anger is water. Water, my friend. That is the secret. So fresh water should be on the minds of all the people around the world right now. But instead, they've turned it into a game of manipulating the atmosphere and creating chemicals, dropping them in the atmosphere that they can be manipulating using radar. They're able to create weather patterns. And geoengineering has been going on for many decades now. So they think they can control the weather and create droughts in some areas and starve people off and create depopulation. That's what's going on. Meanwhile, the real issue is we need more water. While they sit and talk about, you know, positioning in the UN and getting financial kickbacks and creating militias and having UN takeovers of our country, which is the back door, the New World Order back door that Trump still has open, I would have expunged the UN from the country by now. The UN would not have been allowed to have trucks stationed in Galveston, Texas, stationed to virtually take over our entire nation. But since Trump is a puppet and doing whatever the New World Order tells him to do, he's not moving on the UN. He just made a couple statements. We're not going to fund the UN. I would have kicked them out. We wouldn't have even had a New York location to meet the UN. We would have met them over there. Get the fingers of the New World Order out of our country, and then we can begin healing this great nation. All right. Great idea. Expunge the UN. You want to kick anybody out, kick the UN out. Okay, don't kick Muslims out right now. Donald Trump even is saying that he's going to be not kicking young illegal aliens out of the country now, which means that he's already opening the door to immigrants coming in recklessly to further break down our country. Donald Trump will flip on a dime on any issue. So don't think for a second you've got a guy who's really going to stand behind his word, because his word is meaningless. Okay? Meanwhile, back at the farm, you've got war in the works, a possible draft, which I would get rid of. I would get rid of the draft. I wouldn't even have the Selective Service necessary, because we have the ability soon of having automated military capabilities, unmanned land vehicles, walking soldiers that are robots. That day is fast approaching. So the idea of a draft, which we haven't used since its inception, the Selective Service, needs to be evaporated. Young men need to be freed of this worry that they're going to be sent off to war. I can show you, I have pictures of the draft in the 1960s that they pulled men in. And I was a kid sitting there going, God, thank God I'm not 19 years old or 18 years old. I was like 14 in 1967, I was 7 years old. I was 7 years old. So, but many men did go off to war in the late 70s or in the early 70s. I could have been at draft age. So it could have gotten me, but it didn't. But when you look at the draft lotteries of the 1960s, they were like executioners sitting there with their little tickets waiting to call in their markers. Yeah, we have a video of that. War, what is it good for? In special report, CBS News Lottery.
Because of the CBS News special report which follows, Mayberry RFD will not be presented tonight, but will return next week at its regularly scheduled time over most of these stations.
Instead, we'll be playing a show called Mayberry RFID, in which you will all be RFID'd and sent to the FEMA camps. Sorry, I had to just slip that in.
A draft lottery, a live report on tonight's picking of the first dates for the draft. Here at Selective Service Headquarters in Washington is CBS News correspondent Roger Mudd.
Good evening. It was 29 years ago that the first famous lottery number 158 was drawn.
All right, well, this is a depressing time, and we're headed back to war. We had the Vietnam War. It took years for anti-war activists to get this thing to end. Finally, after Nixon resigned, it came to an end. But the Iraq War started and never did end. Obama pretended like he was ending it by pulling troops out, only to put troops back in. The Afghanistan War continues to go on, which is mostly because we get cheap heroin from Afghanistan here in the U.S., and the CIA makes money on it. So we're at war in Afghanistan. Why they want to start a war in Syria, they simply want to continue moving on and take over a nation where they can put a pipeline through. They want to put another oil pipeline. They don't even need an oil pipeline. We've got so much oil in America, it's ridiculous. Let alone Purdue Bay up in Alaska, let alone down in Florida. They just discovered $1.5 trillion worth of oil down below the Florida shelf there. Shell has been working on this for about 20 years. They finally cracked it. So why would we want to put an oil pipeline through Syria? Because some old asshole named Zbigniew Brzezinski put this idea out there, and the Council on Foreign Relations, which runs our government, bought it. This old asshole named Zbigniew Brzezinski, who openly says that it's easier to kill people. Well, I'll let him speak for himself. These are the kind of people that are running the show, and you guys never really thought you needed a third party until now. Zbigniew Brzezinski, let me show you what he said. It's scary what he said. If you want to call in, you can certainly call in. It's available another 15 minutes. Mr. Zbigniew, this is a scary guy, but he has three children heavily involved in politics right now in America. A senior advisor to President Barack Hussein Obama, Zbigniew Brzezinski, speaking out on the New World Order, on matters of national security and foreign policy, speaking at the Chatham House in 2008. I'll play it loud.
The insanity of their power is greater than ever. Their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this as follows. Namely, in earlier times, It was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
There you have it, everybody. Okay, let me play a stinger for you guys who are watching our radio show.
You're listening to the most incredible radio show. Heard.
The number was covered up. In order to get a call through, you have to press 1 when you call this number. That's a big, huge hurdle for most people. They don't realize they have to, once they get into that phone queue for Blog Talk Radio, they have to press 1. So, this is why I probably won't be running a full-time Blog Talk Radio show paying $39 a month to finance it. Everyone says, oh, it's a great idea, but then not enough people call in. It's not a big deal. Brzezinski is basically, like Kissinger, part of their little cadre of people that are pushing their global order. And frankly, this is a bad plan to attack Syria and to attack North Korea. North Korea is, what they're trying to do is eliminate a loose end, something that they don't understand what they want to do. If there is a global encounter, an air war, and North Korea starts to launch their own little missiles on the side, it creates kind of a distraction. So these hawks that want to start World War III, like Trump and others, Kissinger and Brzezinski, are the ones who are trying to put this plan together and taking out North Korea. Not a good idea at this juncture. Big mistake. Your pet rock has had a miraculous recovery. He was only stoned. That's really good. Very funny. Pet rock jokes are welcome here. Helen Keller jokes are not. Yeah, it's just a bad move to start messing with a hornet's nest, especially when you've got an unpredictable guy like Trump. Oh, well, some of us do have a little bit of access to marijuana. We are in a legal state in Washington where you can smoke marijuana and not have to worry about Big Brother coming to your door. Yeah, both Syria and North Korea are both not part of the IMF. And Venezuela's not happy. They're not happy with Venezuela either. Okay, report is that Trump won't insist on money for the wall and the budget. Yeah, but that is not, it's not why he's meeting with 100 senators right now. It's more like controlling the discussion on the Russian thing. Trump wants to remain in charge even though they're investigating his ability to function as president. Trump is not a legal president when Russia helped him win. It's still at this point up in the air. Until the investigation and the charges are filed against him for bribery, he received basically a large bribe from Betsy DeVos to become the Secretary of Education. It's a known fact that he got $9.5 million. That's illegal by FEC standards as well. So he needs to be charged with bribery and violating the Logan Act. When that is done, we will then be on the road to getting a semblance of order here. But until then, you're going to see World War III used as cover for the investigation. You're out of here. All right. I did not bring up incest. Okay, I'm not discussing any allegations of incest with him and his daughter Ivanka. The fact that Ivanka became a major reason why he sent 59 Tomahawks, 23 of which got to their target, into Syria, in Idlib, in the Homs region, was simply because he wanted to do something to appease his daughter, so he used our weapons. This is not the kind of guy you want in charge of the country, okay? Breaking news, Trump rhetoric has it. 4 hours ago, the United States is preparing to evacuate 230,000 Americans from South Korea. Big, 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 big problem. All of this is because our government didn't step up and really indict Trump and pull him out of a commission from being president. But, of course, you know, we want to make sure he's safe. We don't want to hurt him or anything. We just want to make sure that we have credible leadership. Right now, he's not credible to make any decisions. He needs a psychiatric review as well, which automatically, and I would agree with a couple people, Robert Reich has said openly that he needs psychiatric help. We need to find out if he's fit to actual function. If he doesn't have the ability to function as president, we can't really have him. He's already handed over the military decision-making over to the military. Defense, Secretary of Defense is now the primary source of the military. We got a call? Wow, this is amazing. Okay, 9 minutes to go. Okay, you're on. Hey, man.
Hey, David.
Hey, what's your question? Hi.
Listen, hey, here's one of my concerns is that you're going to go up against the New World Order. And if you look at how many people have disappeared or died or have been destroyed because they go up against the world new or the New World Order. Now,
right.
how long do you think you can last against them, and what weapons are you going to have to back yourself up? Because, I mean, even if you look at the Clintons, right, how many people have disappeared when they go against the Clintons and stuff like that? And even throughout history,
yeah.
how many times you go up against the New World Order, right?
Well, are you just going to give up? Is that your goal? Just kind of give up and accept the fact that you're all going to go to the FEMA camps? Because it sounds to me like you've already resigned that reality that you're going to be headed to the FEMA camps and there's nothing you can do. It's just like the Jews were walked off of the concentration camps. It sounds like that's the same argument the Jews said. You can't stop these people. What are we going to do? We've got to go, and work will make us free. And they went on to Treblinka and Dachau and Auschwitz and Buchenwald. And then they died in the concentration camps. So you want to be a victim of the concentration camps? I'd rather be going out fighting than being like a worm wondering when the New World Order is going to hurt me. Oh, golly, I don't know. You know?
Well, I know, but you need weapons, though, right? No, I know. I understand what you're saying totally. And, like, I'm not one of those people that give up at all, ever. But the whole thing is that, you know, like what weapons are you going to use to defend yourself against these people? Because all they have to do is put a thing in the paper saying that you molested somebody or you attacked a woman or any of that stuff, and then they're going to use all that kind of stuff against you. So I'm just wondering, like, if you have any backups to protect yourself.
You know, bottom line is I don't discuss weapons on the show. And anybody who's trained marksman or sharpshooter doesn't talk about their weapons. Only jerk-offs who think they're tough talk about their weapons, okay? Bottom line is nobody
talks
about weapons.
No. Don't.
All right. Any idiot knows you don't talk about weapons on a show. And as far as people accusing people of pedophilia, you need hard evidence of that if you want to break somebody's door down. And I've already been swatted, so, you know, you can't really do much more. But that's an immaterial conversation with a guy who wants to be a worm and think that he's going to be tough and have all his weapons out there. And dude, you're the kind of guy who's a statistic who gets your head blown off when you open the door with your weapon. Most of you don't realize it, but you could easily be a statistic. Okay, well, you're on. Go ahead. Area code 404. 6 minutes left.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just saw the show title was Third Parties. So anybody talking about third parties, I'm willing to talk to and listen. So just checking the show out.
You saw us on Blog Talk Radio on the header, huh? That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? We've been trying to get a third party going for the past 8 years, and we've been censored, and we still use all the free networks. So we're using 30 minutes of free time every night at this time slot just to talk to people about the need for a third party. So we're still in it. We've got americasthirdparty.com. We have a nightly show on Vaughn Live TV, and we're trying to just open up this radio show call time for people to ask questions about what a third party can offer. You have any specific questions?
Well, no, I wouldn't go questions. I would go rhetoric first and say both sides have a complete understanding that both parties fail them in all the things that they actually want. and they only deliver wedge issues that don't really provide or sustain life or actually improve the status of the country. So when you're dealing with a situation like that, they kind of get everybody to join a team in a certain sense. So it becomes like football. So the Republicans say, well, this horrible side that I represent, I'm not really for them, but I'm against that other side. And then the Dems say, well, these horrible people who represent me, you know, same type of thing. So we're just caught in this dynamic of supporting parties we neither believe in nor believe will deliver anything. So that's how you get somebody like Donald Trump, because people say, well, to hell with it. They'll be willing to vote for this guy. And now they're finding out, you know, the gears of this system are so intertwined that one guy doesn't walk in there and change this whole thing. That becomes a dead man, or he plays ball. So, yeah, the two parties have failed. And the biggest thing going now is they create these high benchmarks to make it difficult for third parties to not only get on the ballot, but be involved in the process. And they are the ones who set those rules. So the two parties do it in their favor. So, it just pisses me off to talk about it, because most people, they really, they're so caught up in being on a team, they don't get it.
Right, yeah. And that's we're right in the middle of the political spectrum. I mean, we can flip on both sides. And I even did some pretty wild and bizarre things to even get noticed. I've got a worldwide audience that's pretty big, but I'm not known very well in America still. But I did a blackface video, which some people think is racist. And I was just impersonating Barack Obama, and I in no way wanted people to think I was racist. But it has been an extraordinary tool for me to get known around the world. But I'm still having to deal with that fact. And I'm not in any way a racist. I actually believe in integration and want everyone to just get along, you know. But it's hard to break through the ice of censorship that the two parties have created. And you made a good point. We have a serious basically blaming and naming and blaming on both sides. We've been given the choice, the illusion of choice. And now we're stuck here with this illusion of choice, left versus right. When this man is right, we need to find some common ground somewhere where we're not calling each other names because they're Republicans or Democrats. So,
yeah, but I would just offer this bit of advice. When you're dealing with a nation of people and there's a historical legacy, don't hit on historical points that people are going to not only be affected by, but be extremely angry and take as disrespect. So I'm not a fan of Barack Obama at all, but I wouldn't want anybody to do blackface of him just because I know the historical legacy of it. You go back to 2008, those kids in Europe, they were protesting the G20, and they didn't hang a Barack Obama in effigy because they knew of the American history about hanging black men in effigy. So they disrespected him in another way that wasn't something somebody could be considered racist. They hated him for being a bankster and a raggedy globalist, not for being a black man who was president. You see what I mean?
Yeah, well, I had no other way to make a satirical video about our worst president. Well, now we've got Donald Trump. I think he's worse, but I had no other way of doing it. I couldn't have done it in whiteface. So I was kind of between a rock and a hard place. And frankly, it helped me greatly.
Come on, sir. Self-responsibility. You made choices, sir. It's all good, man. Let's just move on from the conversation. I disagree. It's okay.
I appreciate your concern, and I definitely would be horribly offended if somebody were to do a whiteface video. But they have. Dave Chappelle did one. Snoop Doggy Dogg did a whiteface impersonation, and I didn't call him a racist. Okay? I just did.
You see, that's why I wanted to move on, because you're trying to create a balance for something that has none. There's no historical legacy of whiteface and people being abused and people making caricatures of them in whiteface. So local or new comedy tropes that Eddie Murphy and some of these people have done over the years, it's not the same thing.
White people. Well, how do you know it's not the same thing? Are you white? You know how it feels to be white?
No, I'm not white. I'm saying I know American history, and there's no legacy of that being used in that way. That's why.
Well, there is now.
That's the difference.
There is now. After 5 years. Hey, thanks for the call. We're going to end right now because this is the end of our episode.
Okay.
But you can call in anytime. I really do appreciate your call, and I'm sure we can.
Yeah,
I wish
we wouldn't have got bogged down in that. But, yeah. But y'all have a good one.
Oh, I wanted to get bogged down in that. I'm cool. We'll talk about it another time. Feel free to call in anytime, caller. And I want to thank everybody
all right,
for listening
do, man.
To our show. We are ending that episode. But thanks, man. Appreciate it. We can have a civil conversation about this. All right. We are America's third party, and we're taking everything on. I don't care how controversial these issues are. I take it on, and I'm not going to hide behind some shield. All right, but thank you. All right, thank you. Well, that was a good call, and I'm glad I broached the issue of blackface, because I know that was on a lot of people's mind. This man obviously was black. He was openly offended by the blackface, and I really need to hear that. You know, I don't hear that enough by people who call in, and that's something I really am keenly aware of, how that is perceived as being racist. But I've never been racist, and I'm a person who wants integration. I didn't want Barack Obama to feed us lies and promise us things, and even black people never got what they wanted from Barack Obama. But Donald Trump's even worse. He is completely, he's hateful of black people. He kicks them out of his convention. He's got a charge right now in court in Kentucky. A judge is claiming he incited a riot against black people in one of his conventions. So he's still, believe me, I would never, ever disallow people who are anybody of any color from speaking out on issues in front of me. We got to get past this color issue. It's huge. And the only way to do it is to bring it up and talk about it. You can't confront any kind of prejudice by ignoring it and being like the Democrats and saying, well, you're not allowed to talk about that. So I really don't mind talking about it. And he's welcome to call in on many issues. But I'm not going to sit here and, you know, ignore the fact that I had to do something to make America realize Barack Obama was a bad choice. A bad choice. And he didn't do what he said he was going to do. All right. We would love to talk about genocides. Why don't we make tomorrow night our genocide night, okay? We'll talk about the Armenian genocide. We'll talk about the Holocaust. We'll talk about what the Ukrainians did. We'll talk about what Jews did to the Ukrainians. We'll talk about everybody killing each other. Why don't we just talk about everybody killing each other, and that'll be great. We foment hatred and just continue raising the bar of anger. Sure, why not? The white genocide, I remember, yeah. Okay, 707, yeah. You're going to be pulled out of the show because you're not because you're in any particular way a racist. It's just that you violated the standards of our show. Yeah, and you're not allowed to criticize Jewish people, but I openly criticize the Ashkenazis who are embedded in Donald Trump's cabinet and in his enterprise. These are the same Ashkenazis that were surrounding Hitler. Even Hitler was an Ashkenazi. They claim to be Jewish, but they're not. They're not blood relatives to Abraham. So they've given good Jewish people a bad name, which kind of sucks because, you know, I've met a lot of good Jewish people. They're not greedy. They just aren't. There are a lot of people who have misconstrued beliefs about Muslims, too, that are now Trump supporters who think that all Muslims are jihadists. They're not. Your extremist thinking is leading to what we have today with World War III on the edge with North Korea and Syria. It just blows my mind. If you want to address the issue of Zionism controlling our politics, that's far more interesting than talking about Jewish hatred or black hatred or white hatred or talking about all the Holocaust. If we can map a way around that and just talk about how we can just get along and stop this overwhelming attack by monetary elitists called Ashkenazis. The Ashkenazis were a group of people that have acquired a tremendous amount of wealth. They were Russian and German that worked as court Jews for the Jewish royalty. They're not, in fact, Jewish. So when they took over at Germany at a certain point and became Nazis, that's where the word Nazi comes from, in my opinion. You can differ all you want. They essentially did an amazing job of systematically eliminating people that they didn't like and taking all their money, which is what they're good at because, remember, these are the richest of all scumbags who like to screw people over. These are the George Soroses of the world. These are the people that will do anything for money. In fact, most of Trump's cabinet is filled with these people. He has five billionaires in his cabinet, believe it or not. So no wonder they've created the super swamp that they have today. We have a situation on our hands where they've virtually padded every single angle of Trump's administration with Ashkenazis. And I could list you a few of them in particular that are, you know, significant. I'm not angry. I'm just, I want you to be aware these people are taking us into the road to ruin. And by the way, war works for them, by the way. War works for them. They like war. They can expand credit. This is Truth in Media, and they did a detailed study of all the Ashkenazis in Trump's cabinet and his enterprise.
Even though Israel's involvement in 9/11 is now documented, proven, and verifiable fact, this information has been well swept under the radar. Most Americans will never realize what took place regarding the many Israeli spies arrested and detained on 9/11, only to be later released and sent back to Israel. This information will never be mentioned or covered by the mainstream media, let alone Donald Trump. And that is because he is obviously in bed with Israel and the Mossad.
The Jewish elite don't fear Donald Trump. They love him. They support him. They own him.
Michael Abood, Communications Coordinator, Donald J. Trump for President, Sephardic Jew. Paul Eschleitner, Chairman, Supervisory Board, Deutsche Bank, Donald Trump's largest lender, Ashkenazi Jew. Miriam Adelson, Endorser, Donald J. Trump for President, Donor, Future 45 PAC, Finance Vice Chairman, Trump Presidential Inaugural Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Sheldon Adelson, Endorser, Donald J. Trump for President, Donor, Future 45 PAC, Finance Vice Chairman, Trump Presidential Inaugural Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Paul Atkins, Member, President Trump's Strategic and Policy Forum, Ashkenazi Jew. Brian Ballard, Finance Vice Chairman, Trump Presidential Inaugural Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Elliot Broidy, Vice Chairman, Trump Victory Committee, Finance Vice Chairman, Trump Presidential Inaugural Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Safra Katz, Executive Committee Member, Trump Presidential Transition Team, Ashkenazi Jew. Michael Cohen, Executive Vice President and Special Counsel, the Trump Organization, Ashkenazi Jew. Gary Cohn, Director, United States National Economic Council, Ashkenazi Jew. Delos Cosgrove, Member, President Trump's Strategic and Policy Forum, Ashkenazi Jew. Gil Desert, President, Trump Desert Development, Ashkenazi Jew. Michael Desert, Founder, Trump Desert Development, Ashkenazi Jew. Louis Eisenberg, Chairman, Trump Victory Committee, Finance Co-Chairman, Trump Presidential Inaugural Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Boris Epstein, Senior Advisor, Donald J. Trump for President, Ashkenazi Jew.
Okay, this goes on and on and on. This goes on and on and on. It literally goes on for another 20 minutes. Or, no, 13 minutes. Nonstop. Every single person he lists is an Ashkenazi Jew. Okay, now, many people are wondering, what is an Ashkenazi Jew? Well, an Ashkenazi Jew is a court Jew, like the Rothschild family, who were appointed court Jews. No, not court jesters, court Jews. They were appointed court Jews in the 1500s by the elite Jewish royalty that ruled the world at the time. And in the process of screwing people over financially as the court Jews that they were appointed as, they got very good at stealing money and manipulating the monetary system, so much so that they don't even have any worry whatsoever about money ever. They're securing their power structure right now using the powers over the corruption in Washington, D.C., and thereby controlling the world. Okay. But there's a lot of rhetoric coming out now about North Korea to bolster Donald Trump's ridiculous war that he's creating to cover his Russian connections. So you're seeing the New York Times, Carlos Slim's little pet project there, used in conjunction with our government to create the fear of North Korea. Here, as North Korea speeds its nuclear program, U.S. fears time will run out, further justifying some strike or something, further pushing the world to the brink of World War III. Yep. No, if there is such a thing as a court Jew, why don't you learn history and you can go back and refute me, okay? Thank you. I'm not Ashkenazi Jew. No, I don't have any Jewish in me. I was raised Catholic. I left the church at 11 because I didn't want to be indoctrinated into a ritual, even though I believe in God. No, we shouldn't control secret societies. We just want to make sure they're transparent. The government should never stop anybody privately meeting unless they're willfully doing something against the government or against, you know, society itself, like killing people. Oh, sorry. My audio's on. Audio's up. If it's out of sync, it's because I'm overwhelmed with something on the computer. We've got a new computer coming. Well, the government is being controlled by the Rothschilds. That's bottom line. They monetarily control everyone. They have over $200 trillion. They would make Bill Gates look like a little pauper. It's chump change time for Bill Gates. Thank you. I was a little bit dark there. I lightened myself up. You can say they're Jews if you want, but they're Ashkenazis. Let's call them for what they are. We've got a lot of nice Ashkenazi David Nation. His mother is Ashkenazi Jew. There are a lot of good Ashkenazis out there. Not all of them are bad, but the ones that are nesting close to the White House are all siphoning off the government, are basically massive swamp creatures that you screwed us over by putting in charge. You Trump-tards basically screwed up, okay? We can talk around the subject, but Macron, the current guy who came out of nowhere to lead France, 23% ahead of Marine Le Pen's 21%. Emmanuel Macron is a Rothschild banker. That shows you how powerful they are. They could even start their own third parties. The only reason why the Rothschilds did not start a third party in America is because we did it first. No, I'm not saying only bad ones are or aren't. I'm saying you can call them Ashkenazis. Don't call them Jews because they're not related to Abraham. Yeah, you need to realize that. A lot of you realize that the good Jewish people don't need to be marked by the bad behavior of greedy scumbags who are ripping you off. Thank you. Yeah, just call them Ashkenazis. Call them Nazis, okay? If it's easier for you, just call them Nazis. The Nazi Trump cabinet and the Trump Enterprise Nazis are the ones we're talking about here. Well, I've got a few things wrong with my computer, and it's not working right. If you'd like, I can conclude this part of the show and go to my backup computer, which is kind of cool.